Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us, that we would truly hear your word, that it would bear fruit in our lives to the honor and glory of your name. So we pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Please be seated. Well, again, Happy New Year, and also Merry Christmas. Because today is still part of the Christmas season, remember the 12 days of Christmas. But it's also the Sunday closest to Epiphany, which we celebrate on January 6th, when we remember each year the wise men coming from the east to visit and worship Jesus. So today we're sort of doing double duty, trying to cover both of those at the same time. And so I'd like us this morning to look at the wise men one day early. So if you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, which is page 807. It was just read, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, page 807 in the Bibles under the seat in front of you. So here at Holy Cross, part of our calling as a church, as an individual congregation, but also as in our role as the cathedral for our diocese, part of our calling is to be a center for worship. Now, worship is far more, and people always point this out to me whenever I talk about worship, worship is far more than what we just do together in this room. Worship is far more than that, but it is not less than that. What we do together in this room is an incredibly important and essential part of our worship as God's people. And we are called, as Holy Cross, and uniquely placed and uniquely prepared to be a center for worship among these people, but also the wider church, even in the whole province, as our archbishop is also our bishop here. And in this church, we have and value and need to continue to invest in and grow different styles of worship. Here in this church, we range from very traditional to contemporary and also charismatic expressions, all within our Anglican tradition. We're also called to, in this church, to really learn how to do things well and to actually provide examples for others in our diocese and in our province as needed. But all of that sort of being a center for worship, all of that is centered around focusing our hearts so that we, as Holy Cross, can be drawn up to Jesus in worship. And so today, we're going to look at the events of the wise men, these men from the east coming to Jesus, and we want to use them and see in them an example of a model for worship for us. These men model worship for us in three significant and specific ways that I want us to look at together this morning, learning from their example how we can worship well. And so the first is this. The wise men model worship for us because they sought diligently. And apparently you're going to get all three of them up front. They sought diligently. Look with me at verse 1 in your text. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." So they came from a long distance. They traveled a long way to come to find him. So these men sought Jesus out. They were looking for God. But even more importantly than their search for God is the fact that God searched for them. Because the fact is, God seeks us. If God had not sought us, no amount of our searching would ever find him. But as Jesus says in Luke 19, that he, Jesus, came to seek and save the lost. God comes searching for us. And in the case of these wise men, God is the one who provided this celestial sign for them to follow. They would never have found Jesus had God not come to them and provided the necessary sign. And the reason that they saw it and that they followed the sign is because they were diligently seeking. They weren't passively expecting God to do everything without them needing to respond. They were actively seeking him, and when they saw his sign, they dropped everything to pursue him. This is the difference between a passive and an active response to God. So a passive response to God is sort of the way I treat weight loss. I would consider myself passive towards weight loss. I'm open to the idea of losing weight. I would receive it very well if it were to happen to me. But I can't say at this point I am actively pursuing that goal. Actively pursuing that requires a committed diet, faithfully doing certain types of exercises. That would be the difference between active and passive. And the same sort of dynamic is true in our response to God. We can be passive, merely being open to an encounter with God, or we can be active, actively doing everything that we can in order to seek and learn and grow. If God never reached out to us, then all of our seeking would be utterly in vain. But God has sought us. God has come to us. God has made the way for our searching to lead to finding him and knowing and growing in relationship with him because of what Jesus has done. Our diligent search is part of our worship. The wise men model for us worship because they sought diligently. Now, if you're not a Christian, if you're here not sure that there is a God, or you're not sure about this whole Jesus being God incarnate thing, especially what we talk about in Christmas, then my invitation to you is to seek diligently. The questions and doubts can lead us away from God and away from the search, or they can lead us into the search, into looking for God. So I know a couple people in my life who have serious doubts and questions, and what they've done, they don't quite see it this way, but it's very clear to me, what they've done is they've basically said, I have these questions, they're not answerable, and that's their reason for not even bothering to look. And so my encouragement and my invitation to you is to honestly engage in the search. Because I believe that God has sought you out, and that when you search for him, you will find him. Because he is there and he has sought you out. And so my challenge and my question is, would you have the courage and the discipline to look? So I want to invite you especially to join in here on Sunday mornings as a first step in that search. Keep coming and see if you will encounter the living God. Don't be passive, but search diligently. And to those who are Christians, I want to invite you to continually seek God by diligently pursuing him, especially in the opportunity to worship together here at Holy Cross. Church attendance is by no means all there is to being a Christian, but faithful and diligent participation in the worshiping life of the church is a central part of that faith. And I encourage you to seek after God through worshiping together and committing to being here to worship together each week on Sunday mornings. Seek the Lord as we worship together. So these wise men model worship for us because they sought diligently. Second, they model worship because they worshiped humbly. They worshiped humbly. Look at verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. So once they came into the house, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. You've heard of a double negative. Well, this is a quadruple positive. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And when they finally reached the child that they'd been searching for, when they finally reached Jesus and they had the opportunity to worship him, they were overjoyed. And they immediately humbled themselves in worship. They fell down on their faces, probably with their faces to the ground, and worshiped the boy Jesus. Here are learned, wealthy, wise men who have traveled for months, even a year, to find Jesus so that they could worship him. And when they find him, they fall down on their faces, the epitome of submission and humble worship. This is why in our tradition we kneel as the to show our submission to the Lord in worship. So in the 1999 movie Instinct, and yes, that was 21 years ago now, the movie Instinct with the actor Anthony Hopkins, the main character in the movie lives in the jungles of Rwanda with a group of mountain gorillas. And in one scene, Anthony Hopkins, the main character, gets too close to a gorilla child, and the mother doesn't like that and takes a very angry step towards him. And immediately, what he does in the movie is he puts his face to the ground. He's not worshiping the gorilla, but he's humbling himself, and he's showing in sort of this universally accepted way that he is the lesser and the other one is the greater. That's what the wise men do. They come to worship Jesus, and they humble themselves before this very young boy that we know to be God incarnate. They pay homage to him, and they humble themselves before him in worship. See, friends, that's what worship is all about. We worship first and foremost because God deserves it. It can also be a lot of fun, and we are transformed by the process, but first and foremost, we worship because God deserves it, because God is worthy. We don't worship because we like the music or the preacher, but we worship because God is worthy. And because worship is first and foremost about God, not for us, because it's about Him, it reminds us the importance of making worship our top priority. If worship were primarily about me and what I get out of it, then I might decide that it's just not important to me today. Maybe I just don't feel like I need it today. In a previous church, there was a man in my neighborhood that I'd gotten to know and invited to church. And every time I saw him in church, I knew something big was going on in his life, because that was the only time he felt like he needed to go. He was having a problem, so he'd show up. When the problem was solved, he left. But since worship is our humble response to God, this God of the universe who became one of us in Jesus, because our worship is our response to him because he is worthy, this is the only appropriate response that we could have. And so I invite you to follow the example of these wise men and make worshiping Jesus the top priority of your life. It is the top priority of our life together as Holy Cross, and it also needs to be the overarching goal and theme and purpose of each one of our individual lives as well. These wise men are our model of worship because they worshiped humbly. And third, the wise men are our model for worship because they gave generously. Look at verse 11. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Not only did they seek Jesus diligently, not only did they humble themselves in worship, but as a part of their worship, they gave generously to Jesus. Giving generously is a necessary part of our worship response to Jesus. Now, I know that financial giving is not a popular topic, and I know, unfortunately, that there have been churches and leaders who have sought financial giving, which is a good thing. I mean, the Bible teaches that very clearly, but they've done it in very unhelpful ways. I know I was talking with someone a little while ago who said that a previous church, I mean, years ago, not here, years ago, a previous church used to call people up and lay a guilt trip on them for not giving more. I just want to say that I am very sorry if anyone has ever treated you that way. That is not appropriate. That is not right. And I am sorry if people, especially church leaders, have ever talked to you about giving to God's work in that way. But I also want to be very clear that the response to bad teaching on giving is not no teaching on giving. The response to bad teaching on giving should be good biblical teaching on giving. And the fact is that Jesus had a lot to say about giving and how we use our money. And if we follow Jesus faithfully, if we read the Bible consistently, then we will find quite a bit about our finances and giving. And what we see here in the example of the wise men is that generous, sacrificial, financial giving is an act of worship. They worshiped by searching diligently, they worshiped by humbling themselves in reverence, and they worshiped by giving generously. They didn't give their leftovers. They didn't give what they thought their experience in the home was worth to them. They didn't give because Mary and Joseph were in need. They gave generously because that was a key part of worship. They gave because they needed to give, not because Jesus needed to receive. See, in the ancient world, worship always involved giving of some sort, whether it be financial or giving animals to be sacrificed. There's an example in King David's life where he has the opportunity to worship without giving anything of himself, and he refuses. He says, I'm not going to offer worship to God that doesn't cost me anything. Because giving is so important in that it helps turn our hearts to our Lord. God does not need our money, but this is one of the essential ways that we worship our God who is worthy of all. And it was true of the wise men, and the same is true for us. We don't give just because the church needs to receive. If we have a big need, we will let you know, but that's not what we're talking about. We don't give because we happen to have some left over. We don't give because we like the music or the preacher or the experience that we have, and we don't withhold giving from God because we don't. We don't give whatever we happen to think church is worth to us. We give because that is part of our worship that Jesus deserves. I'm not talking about a church budget or a special project. This is about worshiping Jesus. And God expects us to give generously as a part of that worship. And it's amazing how God works in us and through us as we give faithfully. You don't get the impression reading this passage in Matthew 2, you don't get the impression that the wise men were saying, who does Jesus think he is that we would be expected to give? No, they were transformed by the encounter with Jesus and their worship of him, and rather you get the impression they would gladly have given more. And so friends, check yourself on this. We don't buy God's favor. We don't give so that God will accept us. We give generously because that is part of our worship. We give generously because that is what is fit for our King. And we give generously because we need to give in response to our great and loving Lord and what he has given to us. So on this Sunday, when we remember the wise men coming to Jesus, when we celebrate that Jesus, the light of the world, has come among us, that he has revealed his glory and has sought us out, you and I are then called to respond, following the wise men's example and their model of faithful worship, responding to our incarnate Lord as the wise men did by seeking diligently, by worshiping humbly, and by giving generously. So may this year be one in which we consistently move closer to Jesus in worship and find that we are transformed as we draw nearer and nearer to him. Amen.